Are they done? The Cardinals just refused to die. That being the post-game show, the actual team died just fine during the day. 4-3, a loss to the Philadelphia Phillies. Dropped 2 out of 3 to Philly there in St. Louis before, as you heard, about ready to get on the road to Arizona. Cardinals below 500 now, 6-7 on the young season. Still early, but last place in the NL Central. Kyle, what's up, man? Cubbies fan. Got a win last night. You feeling a little bit better?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Bounced back from that disaster on Monday night. I'll take it. Rubber match tonight. We'll see. Cubs are playing. The Cubs offense has been great so
second
far.
In baseball, I think, in runs scored.
Yeah. They got a lot of guys that are red hot to start the year. If they had just closed an 8-0 lead, they'd be 8-3 right now.
That was tough. I did not see it. As you know, on the air, you broke the news to me. I didn't mean to be sarcastic. But why would you be upset?
It was funny, though, because clearly you checked and it was 8-0. Yeah. You're like, well, why in the world would you be not wanting to talk baseball?
I don't know what's up with Kyle, but he must not just want to brag or anything. But Ben Brown last night on the mound looking pretty good.
Yeah.
The young righty throwing like 96. Upper 90s, nice curveball. That dude, I know he got roughed up a little bit in Texas. Last two starts look pretty good.
Yeah. Debut, I think he gave up like 6 runs since then. He's thrown 8 2/3 shutout. And yeah, he's got some stuff that's intriguing. I don't know if he's ultimately going to be a starter. I think he actually would be a pretty good like late inning reliever if that's what he ends up being once the Cubs get their starting pitching healthy. But he's got some stuff. He's hit 99 once or twice last night, and he's got a nice little knuckle curve that he throws a lot that got a lot of swings and misses. He looked pretty good. I was kind of surprised because Monday was – it felt like such a blown opportunity that could have snowballed because last night you had a bullpen game. Cubs don't really have a starter for the steel spot until he gets back, so it was going to be Ben Brown and Drew Smyly and just piece the bullpen together. And to get that win, and then tonight, tough matchup too. You got Hendricks versus Dylan Cease. Mm-hmm. So to get last night's huge because I think it at least gets you one win. And I thought maybe the Cubs are on the road to a sweep after Monday night.
Yeah, this is a challenging West Coast swing for the Cubs. They got Seattle on the road next and then at Arizona, I believe, early next week.
Could they have just started us off a little bit easier, or do you got to do the Rangers, the Dodgers, a 9-game West Coast trip before April 20th even hits? I mean, come on.
I'm not worrying too much, though, about you.
Cardinals are in the same spot, though, with the start to the season. Dodger series, now you're playing the Phillies.
We got
the Padres.
San Diego and San Diego.
And you guys got the D-backs, too. Man.
We have the D-backs.
You throw in some Pirates and they're 9-3.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Do we want to play the Pirates right now? They're 9-3. Is that the best record in the NL?
Probably. They do this every
Dodgers
year.
Dodgers are 10-5. So win percentage wise, it's actually the Pirates.
Why do I feel like the Padres are the April champions of the league every year?
You're right. No, it does seem like that. They always get off to a hot start. I don't know that they have the pitching. I like their lineup. You know, they've been, I think, outside of the Dodgers and the Padres, the highest scoring offense in the National League, 69 runs so far. I guess the Cubs are higher than that, 71. Dodgers 81, Cubs 71, Padres 70, and then you've got the Pirates and Braves at 69. I did not have the Buccos putting up as many runs as the Braves through this start of the season, but here we are. Before we get to basketball, we got a lot of basketball, as we will every day with the portal. Illinois gets a commitment last night. They're second transfer edition. I think it was easy for me. I almost had to catch myself last night saying, this is their first transfer, right? No, wait, Jake Davis from Mercer has already jumped on board and did so right after the Elite Eight. We'll talk about Trey White and what he brings and what that means for Illinois going forward. Also, some visits we touched on a little bit yesterday. There's been another one added to the guest list, a big one, a familiar face. We'll fill you in on that. Let me complain a little bit about the Cardinals, though, before we get there. Cardinals losing today, 4-3. You know, Lance Lynn, I don't have much to gripe about with him. He's been pretty good. Gave up 2 unearned runs today. Dropped fly ball in the outfield by Victor Scott, who I love the speed. I think that he's a guy that in time can be an intriguing piece, but he's hitting a hot 0-91 at the plate and broken 0-24 today to only then have an infield single that then he rounded towards second versus peeling off towards the dugout, and the Phillies caught that and tagged him out, so he was immediately didn't even get to go on first and present the opportunity to steal. Had a little bit of a rough day in the outfield, but Lynn, five innings, only gave one hit, struck out six. The swing and miss has been there for the upper 30s guy as far as on the hill, but man, Nolan Arenado's having a rough go early, and the power's really evaporated. I don't want to overreact too much because I had to kind of check myself. I'm like, all right, I wonder what he did last year. Now, admittedly, it was a bit of a down year. Still hit about like 26 bombs, near 90 RBIs. It was a step back after he was in the MVP contention the year before that, but he had a slow April last year, got hot June, July, then really cooled off in August into September, and then he was sidelined for a few weeks at the very end with a back issue. There's a lot of worries that the back issue still hasn't necessarily gone away and that maybe he's not fully healthy because he looks a little uncomfortable at the plate and is not just providing the pop, the extra base hits. He's had three extra base hits to start this season. He's hitting 245. I know Goldie's gotten off to a slow start. Nolan Gorman, who's provided some pop, is hitting 213. This is not a lineup that's producing a whole lot. It seems like they'll give you three runs in a given game, even though I think they've had a few where they've barely gotten on the board. But I think they're 20th in the MLB in run score. I should throw in Jordan Walker, my guy, 162, hitting eighth and just really scuffling up there. The bottom of the order is killing the Cardinals, and they're not getting a lot of anything from the outfield. The fact that we're missing Lars Nootbaar so bad probably tells you everything you need to know. So the Cardinals aren't out of it by any means. We're just 2 weeks into this season. Some of the pitching's been better than maybe you would have expected in the early going. Kyle Gibson got roughed up in his start against Miami, but I'm not like sitting here going scorched earth or anything. It's frustrating because I felt like, Kyle, that the lineup would actually be something I didn't have to worry about. I thought that this would be with Goldie, with Nato, with Contreras, with Gorman and Jordan Walker in another full season in the bigs, like they would really be able to score runs. I just didn't know if they'd get enough pitching and not get outscored. But early indications are a little or a lot underwhelming with this lineup.
I think you'd rather have it that way, though, than the other way around, where the lineup is pretty good, but the pitching's a disaster again. And you know, like, all right, you didn't do enough in the offseason, and it's going to be the same story as last year. Whereas you actually are getting decent work from the guys that the Cardinals signed. Also, Sonny Gray had a nice debut last night.
That's true.
And he's back in there as well. Steven Matz has had a good start to the season. And so the bullpens look pretty good too. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you have more trust in the offense figuring it out at some point than you would if it was a total disaster on the pitching front and it just looked like you were headed for a repeat of 2023.
Yeah.
I think for at least from an outsider's perspective, like Arenado's going to hit at some point. Jordan Walker's going to hit at some point. And you get a couple guys back, like if the pitching can stabilize itself a little bit and keep the Cardinals in games, I think there's probably going to be a big offensive correction coming at some point.
I appreciate you reeling me back in, because that's right. If Lance Lynn's ERA was 7,
that's what I'm
saying.
And
same for maybe a couple of these other starters. I know Miles Michaelis isn't pretty good at this point, but yeah, you would say that's probably not fixable, where Nato's done it enough, Goldie's done it enough, and he has been also someone that I think has consistently kind of been a little bit of a slow starter. So you always wonder about that. I know, you know, Matt Holliday was always like that. You don't want your whole lineup being, you know, sub 200 or whatnot, but it's still early enough that I'm not completely losing hope. It's just been a little frustrating. I don't know if the fan angst is more than what it should be on Nato. If, like, I get it, because you're paying a decent amount of money, and this is kind of in that prime window where you're supposed to have Goldie and Nato when they're still perennial all-stars, and what that's going to look like for your order. If Nato's going to fall off sooner than you would think, then I would understand the just kind of the freak-out mode there. But it probably is still too early to have too many grand takeaways about anything in baseball right now, unless you're maybe the Marlins and you're like 1-11.
Yeah, well,
their one win was against the Cardinals, by the way.
Yeah, it's just the sample sizes are so small right now. There's good hitters that are playing terribly, and there's guys that probably will be in AAA in June that are have like a 1100 OPS right now. That's how early the season is. So
you don't think
you probably got to wait till. My rule is kind of like once May 1st hits, then you can start to draw some broader conclusions. You got to wait a month.
Is Tyler O'Neill going to challenge Bonds?
That happened. No, that's not a Cardinal-specific thing, let me tell you. That happens every time someone who's been terrible for years joins a new team, his career is resurrected. That's happened with the Cubs plenty of times. Jason Hayward last year with the Dodgers is all of a sudden a brand-new player. It would have been the best offensive year he ever had with the Cubs the year he leaves. That happens all the time.
That's fair.
Cody Bellinger, another example, when the Cubs signed him, completely resurrects his career after two terrible years. It's an annoying thing that seems to happen in baseball where guys just start sick and tired of one spot and just get a breath of fresh air somewhere else. I don't think this pace is sustainable for Mr. O'Neill there, although he's always had some power. He's always scared me as a Cubs fan. That one year he was dominant. He killed the Cubs in, what was that, 2021?
I think that's right. In the MVP conversation, hit 30-plus home runs that year. And playing in Boston, it's a great fit for him, a strong pull hitter that has the monster there. And he smashed one over the monster yesterday against Corbin Burnes in their home opener to be his sixth home run of the year. Going into yesterday, the Cardinals only had 8 home runs as a team. So that kind of shows you what you could use there. I already talked about the outfield, but it wasn't like I was sitting here saying, oh, don't give up on Tyler O'Neill because he hasn't had a chance. Like, same thing with Arozarena and same thing with Adolis Garcia. Like, O'Neill had plenty of chances. He continued to get hurt, and he's taking advantage of a fresh situation as of right now. It is still very early. Speaking of which, though.
Could be on the IL by May 1st, too.
Could be. Very, very likely could be. Jordan Hicks, the starter experiment for the Giants. He's currently pitching right now, 6 innings, 1 earned. His ERA is 1.
Yeah, I saw his start 5 days ago. It went 7 innings, struck out like 10 or something. Mm,
come on.
I was shocked that they were making him into a starter.
I was too. He'd be the Cardinals' best pitcher as of right now. Although Sonny Gray, like you said, was pretty darn good last night. All right, probably enough baseball talk because we got some hoops to get to. Let's, before this first break that we take, Trey White, transfer from Louisville, 6'7", 205 pounds, from Texas. He's bounced around a lot as far as his basketball career. Now, in AAU, he had some kind of tie to Chicago where he played for the Mack Irvin Fire. Of course, same AAU program for Io DeSumo, for Adam Miller, for a number of prominent players from Chicago. So he was a familiar face for me in the EYBL, watching a lot of the Mack Irvin Fire that I knew about. At one point, his first ranking on 24/7 Sports was 10th in the country. He was a 5-star, ended up being 35th overall in the 22 class, goes to USC, has a pretty nice season to debut in college, was an all-freshman team in the Pac-12, put about 9 points, 5 rebounds a game on a team that went to the tournament as a 10 seed. Just a complimentary piece for them that was able to hit the glass, showed some athleticism, showed the ability to make some plays off the dribble. Goes to Louisville, which we know was a you-know-what show last year. And just his numbers on paper aren't terrible, like 12 points, 6 rebounds, shot about 45% from the field. Not great from three. I think it was 29% last year, just hovering about 30%. I know that shot selection wasn't great there. It sounds like his defense really was lackluster. But this kind of came out of nowhere, admittedly. So Illinois, we've talked about a number of transfers. Trey Wright, admittedly, has not been somebody that I've brought up. Got a call right before or during the show yesterday, like, hey, this is going to happen. And it sounds like Illinois kind of stealthily worked this one. They liked his upside. They felt like in a winning situation that they could get the most out of him. And they, of course, had to make sure that his mindset was in the right place, that he'd be able to accept some more accountability in terms of the defense and trying to get the most out of what has been somebody that has the potential to be an NBA-type player, a pro-type player, because of his skills and his just his physical gifts, like 6'7" and rangy, and not a crazy explosive athlete, but a pretty good athlete. If you watch some of his high school stuff, like he's playing above the rim. He was a big time high school player. So initial gut reaction, Kyle, on Trey White joining the mix. Another, you know, we know Brad Underwood likes positional size, and to be able to have a bunch of guys that bring that to the table, maybe even some switchability if they want to do that defensively again. It looks like Trey could be that kind of a piece.
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction is I don't have a huge one because I hadn't heard the name until he committed. Yeah. So I the tools are there. You can tell a really, really talented player that has a lot in the tank that hasn't maybe been showcased yet. And I know a lot of people have echoed the same thing, but based on the track record the last few years of landing transfers for Brad Underwood and the staff, like, I'm willing, if they see something in a guy that maybe doesn't jump off the page at you, not that he had a bad year last year or anything like that, but I'm willing to trust that. And I think that there's obviously a vision that Brad Underwood has for how he can use Trey and how to get the most out of him. And I also just think anybody that was in that dumpster fire at Louisville, like, they probably did some uncharacteristic things and got dragged down by the awful culture that was there and just a total losing program. Like, I think you surround this guy with a winning culture and put him on a team that can compete. It's clear he has the talent. It's clear he has ability. The length on the wing, I'm curious to know from your perspective, do you think this changes anything else about Illinois' like wing pursuits in the portal, or is this just a guy that they liked and they were going to take regardless? Because that's the one thing that I did raise my eyebrow at, like, okay, you're adding a wing here, a guy that can't really shoot it all that well. What does that mean for your other targets? Is this a starting type guy? Is this a bench type guy? What, you think this is just somebody they liked and we're going to take, or is this one where maybe it speaks to something else in their portal pursuits?
No, that's a good question. I think it was just a piece that they liked and someone that, whether he's going to play, you know, I think at Louisville he played mostly the four. I don't know that he's a true three, especially if Illinois gets who they want to get. And to that point, I think that they're still full-fledged foot on the gas for AJ Storr, and he's the biggest priority on their board. And I was told that, you know, this doesn't change their sell for him, how much they want him. This wasn't an indication of, oh, they're getting dicey on what that looks like, so we better take a wing type, a bigger forward, just in case type of thing. So Illinois losing, of course, Quincy Guerrier at the four, and I know that they're still recruiting like stretch four types. Kerry Booth from Notre Dame's coming in here in a few days, and they've been involved in a couple other ones. Xavier Amos from Northern Illinois, Ben Humrickhaus from Evansville as well. So it's hard to tell right now until the pieces really come together of what his role will be. Like, will he be a guaranteed starter? I can't say that for sure. He's been starting. He started 55 games at the high major level, and as a freshman on a USC tournament team, started 29 of the 33 games they played. So that's kind of been his role. He has the talent to be a starting type player in the Big Ten for sure. But yeah, I still think they want a scoring wing. Like, Trey White isn't a put the ball in his hands most possessions and let him create and let him be the focal point of your offense, which I think the AJ Storr would be if he were to come in here and try to fill some of the shoes that were left by Terrence Shannon Jr. So I still think they're going to be involved with him. I think Otega away from Oklahoma on the wing is still a guy that they like a lot. And if they don't get Storr, is someone that they're going to be very interested in. I think the timing of Storr is very interesting still, because I think if it could very well go Ray J. Dennis-like. I know that, not saying that it's going to go against Illinois, but I do think he's someone, I can bring up an example that went Illinois' way, like Matthew Meyer went through the NBA draft combine, didn't decide until after he pulled out, then to go to Illinois. Ray J. Dennis on the flip side didn't really get into visit mode. I know he took a couple of visits before or during that process, but didn't really get into decision mode until he pulled out of the draft, although we all knew that he wasn't going to stay in. But I wonder if AJ Storr is going to do that and wait until mid to late May to make his official call, and how much of the options get limited by that, or how much are you on the hook by chasing AJ Storr because of that. I think that's very, very interesting. So I do admittedly, like, how much does this affect a role for a guy like Luke Goody? How much does it affect a role for a guy like a Ty Rogers? Like, obviously, Trey White is different from a skill set standpoint, from a strength standpoint, than Luke Goody. Luke Goody being a bona fide shooter, where Trey White just doesn't do that. Like, he's a 29% three-point shooter. Maybe he gets better.
Do you think there's more in his three-point shot? I know you mentioned shot selection, and I don't know. Do you think he could ever be like a 35% three-point shooter with better shots? Yeah. More of a, you know, you bring in a point guard and bring in some other pieces around him and get him more, you know, catch and shoot, spot up type of looks?
Yeah, no, that's a good. I think that's a good question. And on the note of 35%, that was his catch and shoot number last year. So I think him taking threes off the dribble hurt his efficiency. And admittedly, when I was trying to dig around on what people thought of him yesterday, I told her, but like, I didn't catch a lot of Louisville basketball games last year. And I still haven't had a lot of time to go and to watch a lot of the film, other than, like, I've seen the highlights and everything, but, you know, in highlights they make everything. So you didn't see the other 70% of the threes that he missed. But it sounds like he took some tough shots, off the dribble shots, some shot selection in a team that won 8 games last year that they kind of were allowed to take, needed him to take, that in a better situation, he should have more openings. He should be less of a focus, especially if you get like an AJ Store. Sort of that question, I think that their thinking is a healthier shot diet will improve the efficiency of him. I don't think he's a knockdown shooter, but he could be a serviceable shooter.
I'd take that. I mean, I get a little concerned at this point adding more non-shooters. Yeah, I don't know if
for sure.
I wouldn't necessarily consider him a non-shooter, but man, you got some questionable three-point shooting on this roster coming back. And
yep.
No, you added Jake Davis, but who knows what type of role he'll play. Yeah, I'd probably want every commitment from here on out to be a guy who can make like 37% from three.
No, that's very fair. I will say his mid-range jumper percentages were very good. So he's a guy that can kind of hit you with a pull-up mid-range, 15 to 20 feet there.
You mentioned, too, he has maybe a little bit of mid-post Marcus DeMas booty ball to him, too.
Yeah, I think it's something that they really like about him is his ability to back some guys down, especially in some matchups where he gets a smaller defender. His passing numbers, like, he only averaged like 1.5 assists per game last year. So, of course, a big part of booty ball. If you're going to run it like Illinois did last year, you're going to have to be able to find open guys and have feel and all that type of thing. So I'm not saying that he would be like the booty ball initiator, but he could. They definitely want to have some like mid-post ISOs, and I think that's definitely something that they like. That's what I've heard for sure. And kind of grand scheme before we catch a break here, I just heard that I know that in doing their homework, they checked around with some NBA people because he was on, after what he did at USC as a freshman and being who he was as a prospect, like he was on some NBA radars. It still sounds like there were enough of a feedback out there that, hey, in the right situation, getting the most out of him, he's someone that's got pretty good upside. So while his recruitment was very quiet, even I've been asked by people like who else was in the mix. At this point, I don't know. Like there was nothing reported of here's the teams that have reached out to Trey White. I know that there's a lot of stuff that goes on Twitter about lists of contacts and cutting their lists and taking visits and in-homes and Zooms. There was literally like nothing on Trey White out there. So it was very much kept low-key. Illinois' involvement was kept very much low-key. And he is on board, though, with Jake Davis. We'll talk more about other options for Illinois, including another visitor added to the list coming up this weekend. If you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. Thoughts on Trey White, thoughts on how it impacts the roster, thoughts on Kylan Boswell, AJ Store, anything and everything, hit us up on the text line. We'll be back talking more Illini hoops off season. This is The Drive.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
And now, Kelsey Briggs, owner of Salon 105 in Mahomet.
We have a luxury destination salon located out here in Central Illinois, and we have stylists here for everybody and any need. We have a very wide range of stylists that can cover any needs. There is somebody that can provide any services from a perm to a balayage to extensions and everything in between. Every stylist that works here is certified in Bello Haven hand-tied extensions, and we do a lot of education. We bring in high-level educators from all over the world and invite local salons to come out here and learn. So not only do we welcome clients here, but we also welcome other stylists or salons in the area to come and learn.
To book your appointment at one of the premier salons in Central Illinois, go to salon-105.com. That's salon-105.com.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Madison Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and...
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information including repair quotes and online scheduling requests available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We'll get to a couple of your texts here coming up soon. Did want to plug a few things here real quick. Tomorrow, we had to reschedule because of the late Cardinals game and cutting into our show, but we're going to have Steve Francis on tomorrow talking about the Illini 100 World of Outlaws Farmer City Racing, which will be Friday and Saturday. That's the 12th and the 13th. Excited to get filled in on that. Steve Francis, Dirt Late Model Hall of Famer, now the director of the Late Model Series with the World of Outlaws. I know that Lon said that that is a really big deal, so we will have that tomorrow to get you all the details and how you can check that out. Also, if you missed it, Brad Underwood was on with Diane and Stevie this morning. You'll have to podcast that if you weren't able to check that out, but he was plugging his Coaches versus Cancer event as he does every spring at Gordyville. That's Tuesday, April 16th. Pretty cool guest list, as he always has. Last year, Fran McCaffrey, Fred Hoiberg, Tom Izzo, and Matt Painter. It was quite a studly list of Big Ten coaches. This year, legendary TV analyst Bill Raftery and Oakland head coach Greg Campy, who, of course, upset Kentucky in the first round. So look forward to that. I get a chance every year to go out for the media portion of it. And again, if you miss Brad, definitely podcast that from this morning with Stevie and Diane. We'll continue our talk on Illini basketball, the offseason, the transfer portal. Wade hits on what I wanted to get to next on the U of I Illini League text line. Kylan Boswell visiting this weekend, I hear. I've heard the same thing. Wade, he will be here on Friday. The Champaign natum, the transfer from Arizona, entered the portal yesterday, which was big news. A guy that will be considered one of the top guards in the portal. I know that he didn't finish the season all that well, but still averaged around 9 or 10 points, 3.5 assists, shot 37-38% from three, despite going cold down the stretch in the postseason. A guy that's only 18 years old, turns 19 next week, 2 years of eligibility remaining. Kyle, I want to talk a little bit more about this one with you. We kind of kicked it around a little bit yesterday. Admittedly, I need to dive in a little bit more. I didn't watch a ton of Arizona last year. I did see the early season game against Duke, which he was really, really good in. You see his game logs, like up and down, especially in Pac-12 play, was inconsistent. I know that in just kind of reading, engaging what Arizona fans have had to say about him, that he had some disappointing showings. Like there was some real duds in his season as they went on the road and had a few disappointing losses where he didn't show up and have a great game. Was in the competition with Caleb Love and Jaden Bradley, the transfer from Alabama, for playing time, but he still started every game and played a good chunk of minutes. Definitely a good shooter, definitely a guy with a physical build. He could probably even afford to lean him up a little bit to try to get him to be a little bit more explosive and just kind of laterally quick and whatnot. But I know he's a competitive defender, a guy that can get through screens, and bona fide five-star prospect, played on the USA junior national team coming out of high school. And there's more to tap into with Kylan Boswell, even though you can say what you want about him and through his 2 years so far, a guy that reclassed and played really young as a freshman, now as a sophomore. I've shared this, and I don't know if I mentioned it on the show yesterday, but he is, after he turns 19, he'll be 19 going into his junior year. Trent Frazier was 19 before his freshman season even started. So that kind of just gives you a little bit of context of just what he could still develop into, mature, those type of things. And I do think a fresh start would be good for him and a chance to get closer to his family here in the Champaign-Urbana area. So him joining a nice visit list for Illinois over the next handful of days, starting with this weekend. What do you make of Kylan Boswell kicking things off at Illinois for his first visit since hitting the portal?
I've always felt like with him, ever since Illinois lost him to Arizona originally, that there was going to be a day where he would enter the portal and he would play at least a season for Illinois before his college career was over. That's the thing with like these high school recruitments now, is if you finish second for a guy, you might still get him for a period of time. And I think this is one where you can obviously see the connection, a guy who grew up in Champaign, and I think he's super talented. Like, he was really up and down for Arizona, but man, like, 18 years old. Like, he was basically a freshman. I know it was his second year of college, but he was a reclass freshman 2 years ago, didn't really play. All of a sudden, he's a starting point guard for a 2 seed in the tournament, and he had some great moments. Now, there were some games, especially kind of correlated with some of Arizona's upset losses and some of their, you know, not as good performances, but he would kind of no-show and be a non-factor and kind of disappear from a game. But when he was good, he was really good. He made shots. There were games where he would take some really big late-game shots for them and make those. And I think there's still some more upside as more of a true, like, creator, passer. His assist numbers weren't super high for them, but I think part of that is also because Caleb Love had the ball in his hand so much and they had a lot of different weapons there. And, you know, while he was a guy bringing the ball up most of the time, he wasn't like a super high usage, like balls in his hands every time down initiating actions type guy. So I think that there's a lot of untapped potential still left with him, and that's added alongside a guy who was already pretty good. Like, he wasn't bad last year. He was inconsistent, but he was already pretty good, and I think you could actually, with 2 years of him, which is what you would assume to get if you were to land him, you could turn him into a pretty good point guard, all Big Ten caliber point guard, at least by the time he's a senior. I think the upside is there for him, and I would be thrilled to land him. I've said for a while that I would prefer kind of a fifth-year, older, veteran experience point guard if I could have my choice, but I would make an exception for a Champagne guy with this much talent, former five-star, and a guy who has already proven he is a capable, high-major contributor at the point guard spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of guys his age that already have, there's probably none that have 2 years of high major experience. And like you said, I've been part of some winning teams. I do like that he's coming from an offense that, number one, has been really, really effective and plays with a lot of pace, likes to get out and transition. Arizona's been one of the best transition teams each of the last 2 years in college basketball. So we know how much Brad Underwood likes to get out and run and play with tempo, and he's used to being the ball handler or one of the ball handlers in an offense like that. I also feel like we still have to see if A.J. Storer is going to end up at Illinois. And if it's not him, will there be another kind of alpha offensive piece? Not to say that I think Kylan Boswell can play in a lot of pick and rolls, and they'll look to do that a decent amount, especially under the assumption or just the likelihood that Marcus Dumas does not get a sixth year. And he's not your initiator next year. Of course, if you can get him back, you'd love to. And I actually still think that Boswell would fit really well because he's a great spot-up shooter. Like, his catch-and-shoot numbers are outstanding. I was running the numbers today for an article I'm going to write going into this weekend. Through 2 seasons of college basketball, even as a young freshman and young sophomore, 41% on catch-and-shoot. So a guy that, as a spot-up, even when he's not the guy off the bounce making the play, or if the ball gets swung around, he's a dangerous player from the outside to let it fly. So I know we're going to talk about and have talked about Dante Maddox from Toledo, who's coming in early next week. If your backcourt, starting backcourt, is Kylan Boswell and Dante Maddox, you got a lot of shooting ability with those two. And I think that if A.J. Storer is that wing, which he's not going to be an easy get, but if he's that wing that attracts a lot of attention, that you try to slot into a Terrence Shannon-like role and try to develop him in terms of somebody that you put the ball in his hands and he goes to make plays downhill, having that floor spacing for a really, really good athlete, knowing that the guards that you have in Maddox, if you do get him, Boswell, if you do get him, are just knockdown shooters, that's ideally what you want. So I would be thrilled with Kylan. Admittedly, I'm biased on this one. His uncles grew up down the street from me. They went to Centennial. Both of his parents.
So you got to close this recruitment down for us.
Should, yeah. Some people blame me for the last time. You know, second time's a charm. Both of his parents from the area, from Champaign-Urbana. I think his dad went to Urbana. His mom, I believe, went to Central. And they have family. They have grandparents. There's a lot here that would be attractive to getting his family to games, and maybe just for a player that I've said it before, could use kind of a fresh start. Maybe that would help just have that family backing and grounding here in Champaign. It's always a cool dynamic too to play for your hometown. Your home state is obviously a big deal, and I know it meant a lot to Io DeSumo and meant a lot to some other guys, but I think for like a hometown guy like a Ravonte Rice, it was cool when Trent Meacham, you're probably too young, Kyle, when he was playing for the Illini, but when he came back to play, that was always really cool. And I think that there's a lot of potential there for just NIL, you know, marketability and all that kind of stuff. And he could be they sold him on trying to be a hometown hero out of high school. Maybe he could still be one out of the portal.
All right, we got to get one more break real quick, but first give us a rundown of the other targets and if any of those guys are going to be on campus anytime soon.
Kerry Booth will be here with Boswell on Friday. Booth, the 6'10" stretch four from Notre Dame. He was a freshman last year, still only 18 years old. It's interesting. I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about this after the break before we finish up here, but is this just a coincidence or is the staff looking at guys with multiple years of eligibility that could maybe build something that's beyond just next year? Trey White coming in and has 2 years of eligibility left. Maybe he's here for 2 years. Maybe Boswell will be here for 2 years. Dante Maddox will be a one-year guy. He's going to visit Illinois early next week, but they do like Kerry Booth quite a bit. And we know that a guy like Merez Johnson would come as a freshman. If Imani Hansberry's sticking around, he's got a number of years of eligibility left. Let's hit on that before we get out of here. 217-359-2255. If you want to hit us up, weigh in on your thoughts on Kylan Boswell visiting this weekend and anything else Illini basketball related. But I want to tackle that next. Is Brad Underwood up to something that's beyond just next year? We'll hit on that. After this, this is The Drive.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window, a proud member of Prairie Home Alliance. A new front door can instantly upgrade the look of your home and make it more energy efficient. The Kramer Siding and Window team can also install French doors to your deck or patio welcoming the outside in, or storm doors for an extra layer of protection against the elements. The estimate is free, financing is available, and the business is local. Schedule your beautiful new door today and save 25%. Call us, click on KramerSiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champaign, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champaign. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com. You've heard about the doggy bag, right? From Bulldog Disposal Muhammad, a 6-cubic yard canvas bag that can be used for easy cleanup instead of a big dumpster. The one-time use bag is now available and you can save the delivery charge. Get the doggy bag at Do It Best Hardware in Champaign at 107 West Springfield. So fill up the bag, call Bulldog Disposal, have it disposed of, and you'll be organized. Go to bulldoggybag.com for all the details. That's bulldoggybag.com.
This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. Unfortunately, there is not a one-size-fits-all retirement plan. Finding the right plan for you depends on many factors. The good news is that we can help improve your retirement readiness, whatever your situation. Contact us today at 217-366-3456 or online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Bring on spring. Get the light and delicious Greek pizza. Topped with premium mozzarella, feta, new sliced Kalamata olives, diced tomatoes, mild peppers, and red onions. It's the best Detroit-style pizza around with a crispy, crunchy, cheesy crust to the edge. Hurry in and enjoy a large Greek Detroit-style pizza for $16.99. Code word Greek. Jets. Better because it has to be.
Pia's is open. Catch all of your favorite MLB games on their big screens. Root on your favorite team wearing your Cubby Blue or your Cardinal Red. 1609 West Springfield in Champaign. Pia's offers not only a huge outdoor seating area, but indoor seating as well. Enjoy daily specials. It's the home of the Slugger Burger with buckets of beer and wings. Experience food, drinks, and fun at one of Champaign's best sports bars near Springfield and Madison, Champaign. Open 7 days a week. It's Pia's.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting in
finishing up on the drive with Tate and Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. About 5 minutes to go here. Let's get to some texts. We've had a number of you wait in. We appreciate you. Let's get to some of these. 217 says, Ethan Morton, Mason Gillis in the portal. I'd take Mason Gillis. Surprised to see them in. Admittedly, Gillis was surprised to see Gillis, yeah.
Morton didn't play at the end of the year.
Right.
But where will he play? He can't score.
Good question. Indiana. No, I'm just kidding. Gillis, though, yeah. Nice,
he'd be a nice pickup for somebody.
Maybe he wants to go start for somebody. I don't know.
He was a really underrated piece for them because I know they started Kaufman Wren alongside Edie, but their best lineup was when they brought Gillis off the bench, and he shot like 50% from three or something crazy. He was always somebody that impressed me. He had a couple of big time like hustle glue guy type plays here in Champaign to win them the game.
No, he's a gritty, tough dude. Likes to mix it up on the glass too. So I think that's one to look at. I am interested though, and maybe it won't happen because there was a lot of speculation. We could spend more time on this at a different juncture, but will there be people that enter the portal that are just literally only checking their value? Like, or maybe guys don't actually have to do that because breaking news. I know this isn't breaking news. There is tampering. There's such thing as agents going out and saying, well, if we do go in the portal, what would you give us type of things? That can get gauged, and maybe you don't have to hit the portal to have that happen. But not saying that Mason Gillis is going to be one of those guys, but that just is a thought in my head if we will reach that point. Kenny says, do you think Kylan Boswell will commit after this weekend's visit and not take any other visits?
I think that's what they would hope happens, right?
Of course. They'll be pushing for that. I think Illinois is in a very, very good spot. Eric Bossy of 24/7, our national guy, one of our national guys, put in a crystal ball for Illinois last night with Kylan. I definitely think that his decision to enter the portal, as he was weighing it, Illinois was on the family's mind for sure. I'm not saying it was the only place. I'm not saying that another suitor wouldn't come in and be able to wow them or show them something that they would be very interested in. Maybe Eric Musselman says, like, I know for a fact that his mom likes living out west. And maybe Musselman says, hey, you guys don't have to move back anywhere. You could stay. You know, they I think they still live in California, Southern California, and we're able to then commute over to Arizona to see his games. Stay here, go to USC, and I'll hand you the ball, that type of thing. But I do think Illinois has a really, really good shot. I would lean towards I think they lock it up. I think they lock it up. That's where I would lean as of right now.
It's probably a bad sign if he leaves this weekend without committing, right?
It's over, but
it's not Illinois hasn't lost him, but it's probably like, he didn't fall in love.
Yeah. It would make you wonder. It'd make you wonder. Big Def sent us his dream starting lineup. Kylan Boswell, John L. Davis, AJ Storr, Kerry Booth, Merez Johnson.
I'd say that's a dream lineup.
It's pretty good.
John L. Davis not happening, right?
Yeah, he asked also about John L. Davis. I think he's going to Michigan if he pulls out of the draft.
Makes sense.
I've heard that he is, like most guys, his situation will be trying 100% to get drafted and see what that looks like. If it makes sense, he's going to stay in the draft. Otherwise, he's coming back, and I think Michigan has a big leg up with Dusty May and also a former assistant who left Florida Atlantic, went to Georgia. The guy that recruited him to FAU left May's staff, I think right before their Final Four run, and then May just hired him to come with him to Ann Arbor. So I think that they have a big advantage to be able to get him. Dan says,
sounds like Vlad Golden's there as well.
I think so too.
Yep.
Which is why Danny Wolf, in my opinion, the big man, 7-footer from Yale, who's originally from Chicago suburbs, I wouldn't say I'd be surprised if he does it. It sounds like Michigan is the front runner for him, but if he goes to Michigan with Golden, that would be a little perplexing to me. I think Illinois is trying to tell him that as well, along with some other suitors that say, hey, if they're getting Golden, you should maybe reconsider who you want to go to.
Makes sense. Let's save the
we didn't get to it. It's all right.
Youth conversation for tomorrow when Lon's here. I think that's a very interesting point. I've had the same thought.
Yep, we'll have to circle back to that. A number of guys with multiple years of eligibility. AJ Storr would be one of those too if Illinois got him. Of course, I think he would be trying to go to a different destination and then go to the NBA if everything works out the way it possibly could for him. Real quick, Dan says, I don't understand why it's fit 6'7 wing who can't shoot and isn't a lockdown defender. Aren't we just inviting Luke to go to the portal with Davis and White? Not necessarily. I think it's something that Luke's going to have to evaluate, but I think they believe that White can be a good defender. Obviously, a lot more off the bounce game than Luke. They're different pieces. So we'll see how that comes together. We'll talk more about the roster and the future and what that looks like coming up tomorrow. Appreciate you all listening, checking us out on an abbreviated show. Until then, we'll talk to you tomorrow. This is The Drive.